Hi, welcome to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm your host, Tom Nielsen. Hey gang, I've got an interesting flashback story for you today. Just recently, I was helping clean out the house I grew up in and came across a stash of the old man's collection of popular science magazines. The old man was quite an avid reader, and he would devour just about any print publication he got his hands on. So he subscribed to quite a few magazines, three or four local newspapers, and in his earlier years, he was a really big fan of science fiction novels. So it's no surprise that Popular Science was one of his favorites. In case you're not familiar with the magazine, it was like a combination of do-it-yourself home repair tips and stories on the latest science and technology trends, with a special focus on the future. Kind of like Home Improvement meets Star Wars. Now the truth is, he had been collecting these magazines for most of his adult life. The last time I had to deal with this stash was way back when I was in junior high school, and he surprised us all by deciding it was about time to clean house. So I found a ready and willing recipient for the hundreds of copies he'd saved over the years dating back to the 1940s. My junior high school teacher, Mr. Dewey, said, "Sure, I'll take them off your hands." And so every day for about a week or two, I bundled up a huge stack of 24 or more popular science issues and lugged them all the way to school to present to Mr. Dewey. Well, who knew that I'd be faced with the exact same challenge over 55 years later? And of course, Mr. Dewey is no longer around, so it looked like this newest collection would be headed for the recycling center. But before I tied them all up and trucked them out of the basement, I decided to take a quick peek at some random issues and get a feel for the state of science journalism back in the mid-1980s. And boy, was I surprised. You know how people nowadays like to talk about how old TV shows like The Jetsons and Star Trek were so ahead of their time, and how the incredible imagination of their writers actually predicted some of the new technology that we now take for granted? Well, my friends, Popular Science was doing that long before The Jetsons or Star Trek ever got on the air. And so it was quite an eye-opener to leaf through the pages of Popular Science and read about stuff that is now such an indispensable part of our modern lives. Take, for example, an article on solar energy. In the October 1982 issue, they told about a forest of mirrors in the desert that was built by Southern California Edison as a test project. According to this plan, the mirrors would collect the sun's energy and convert it to electricity. Ultimately, they hoped to build a 100-megawatt power plant that would take all the solar energy and start pumping out electricity for businesses and homeowners by the year 1988. It turns out they were a little off on the timetable. But here we are now in the 21st century. And we've got thousands of houses and acres of fields with solar collectors doing exactly what they predicted back in the 1980s.
Wow!
Or how about this story? In October 1983, Popular Science reported on a new test project in Chicago that was gearing up to introduce a revolutionary new form of communications. Bye-bye landlines, this was actually the start of cell phone technology. Those clever engineers had divided up the city into 17 different areas called cells, each of them covered by their own low-powered radio transmitters. So the idea was, when you drove around in your car, traveling from one cell to another, your phone signal wouldn't be interrupted. It would just pick up where the last cell tower left off. And eventually, they predicted, this would make universal phone coverage possible for millions of new customers. And of course, here we are, 40 years later, and we've now got a number of different cell phone companies all competing for our telephone dollars. Each of them promising better signal, wider coverage, higher quality, fewer dropped calls, and lower rates. Even Hollywood star Ted Danson is out there promoting one particular brand of cell phone company by pointing out that the only difference he sees is a different color coverage map.
Unbelievable!
And then we have a story from the November 1983 issue. with the headline, Hand Size, but here at last, Flat Screen Color TV. Imagine that, folks. Liquid crystal TVs that you can hold in the palm of your hand. Sort of like Dick Tracy's wrist TV. This was the new pocket color TV introduced by a Japanese company, Seiko. Up to then, Seiko was best known for its wristwatches, clocks, and semiconductors. And there they were, coming out with a tiny version of what we now have in our living rooms. Those big, humongous, flat-screen color TVs. The secret to this high-tech achievement was actually something called twisted crystals, which were high-performance liquid crystals that offered faster response time, making it possible for you to see moving pictures that weren't blurry, unstable, or slowed down by a long lag time. Like I said, it was all thanks to twisted crystals. That actually sounds like some kind of a new alcoholic drink. Hey, bartender, give me a can of Twisted Crystal.
Would you like that on the rocks?
Of course, you all know where that high-tech achievement went, besides large flat-screen TVs. You know those cell phones we were talking about just a moment ago? Well, now everybody's walking around out there with little TV sets in their pockets. And if you ever take a commuter train or a plane ride, there's usually somebody streaming the latest episode of their favorite TV show right next to you. These liquid crystal screens also come in handy for entertaining the kids on long car rides. That is, if you have enough games or kid shows to last the entire trip.
Are we there yet?
And last but not least, here's an article from the April 1984 issue of Popular Science telling all about the house that computers built.
Oh my.
Well, of course they didn't mean that literally, folks. They still hadn't worked out the details on how to build such a home. They had hoped to do it with some kind of prefab mass production method, much like they do automobiles on an assembly line. No doubt they also envisioned robots having a role in the manufacturing, further reducing the role of human workers. But that was just a temporary glitch that they were still working on back in the 1980s. However, here's the description of what the final product would be. I quote now from the article in Popular Science. Imagine a prefabricated home that adapts to any site or climate, expands or contracts to suit your family's needs for space, has interior partitions that can be moved or modified to provide for growing children, has computerized environmental controls, and includes robots that cook your food, wash your clothes, and vacuum your floors. Best of all, it costs less than the price of a conventionally built home.
Amazing.
Well, we do have robots now that will sweep your floor, and environmental controls that you can control from your smartphone. But as to the rest of the scenario, especially the moving panels that expand or contract, we've still got a long way to go before we see that dream become reality. There are some tiny homes out there that do seem to assemble themselves automatically, with walls coming out and plopping into place. But the idea of a fully adjustable home still hasn't gone much further than an old silent film I once saw, in which a house automatically transforms from an elegant upscale mansion into a beggar's tumble-down shack at one push of a button, just to fool the tax collector.
Whoa.
But as for our brief little trip into Popular Science land, one thing I can say for sure is that after reading all those future-looking stories from long ago, it really gives me a sense of greater appreciation for what we have today in this modern, high-tech world of scientific miracles. Now, if I can just get this darn computer to cooperate, I'll be all set. You've been listening to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm Tom Nielsen. See you next time. Hi, this is Tom Nielsen. If you enjoyed this podcast, you're invited to hear more of our episodes at A Look Behind and Rewind. And feel free to share our link with friends, family, and others, as well as following us on Buzzsprout.com Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.